Good afternoon. It is 1:33, September 6, 2023. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchak. And we have two informal hearings today, both with the same company, Otter Tail Power, and both for wind farm reconstructions. But we're going to take them separately if there's not objection. So the first one that we'll do is case number PU-23-252. And that is for... No, wait, I did the wrong one. I'm sorry. So the case we want to start with is PU-23-256. I don't have any opening comments. Do either of you?
I do not.
Oh, I did that wrong. And so I'll turn it over to you as portfolio manager then.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. And since you guys have PowerPoint slides and seem to be ready to go, I think all that we need to do is go around the room and introduce ourselves, and then you guys can kick it off.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Bryce Haugen, Otter Tail Power Company.
Molly Smith with Frederickson Byron on behalf of Otter Tail Power Company.
Lisa McFarland, attorney for Otter Tail Power Company.
Chris Hansen, PSC staff.
Adam Renfin, staff.
Randy Sinstelin with Otter Tail Power Company.
Steve Cortino with Lyona Labor International, Northbrook.
Okay, very good. And then we have Clayton over there managing the IT connections. Yeah. Okay, so I think that we'll just start with your slides and we'll keep it informal and ask questions as we go. So turn it over to you, Bryce or Molly.
Great, thank you. Thanks for having us here this afternoon. This one will look familiar, similar to a couple of previous repower siting requests that we've had in the past for our Langdon and our Laverne projects that are very similar. So appreciate the time today to come out and visit about these. This facility, the Ashtabula 3, has been in service since 2010. It's been a good performing facility for us. This upgrade work, which is all going to be done above tower, is going to help us take better advantage of the wind resource north of Valley City. And so excited to talk through that. And, you know, just a little background on these. Our North Dakota wind facilities are, the capacity factors for those are among the highest in MISO. And so these are really, really good facilities, and we get even better energy production off of them after these upgrades are completed. So we'll go through, we've got a slide deck of the upgrades that we're going to talk through. We've got some detail showing what components get replaced, talk through the different waivers and things that we're requesting certification of today. This Ashtabula 3 is a certification request, which Molly will get into the legal side of that on the next slide. And this facility, Ashtabula 3, is a 39 turbine, which are all 1.6 megawatts. And that's what they'll be at the end of the upgrades as well. With that, we'll go into the next slide.
So the next slide talks about what we included in the filing. Again, very similar to what we've done in the past. We have the certification that describes the project in an environmental and regulatory compliance memo, accompanied by the acoustic assessment results and some sound waivers accompanying that, shadow flicker assessment results, FAA filings, microwave beam path study, cultural resource report, and an unanticipated discoveries plan, the IPAC resource list, and setback waiver. What we don't have that you'll see in the others is we do not have an amendment request because the capacity, these are 1.6 megawatt turbine already, and they will stay 1.6 when they are upgraded. Additionally, there is additional capacity approved for this project compared to others. So there's no increase in the nameplate capacity.
for the equipment upgrades described. This project is going to take place in the third quarter of 2025. The first major component delivery is towards the end of June of 2025. That's scheduled to take place. And then the pretty neat part about these repower work, so the blades and components, about seven turbines worth will be delivered each week, and 3 to 4 turbines will be repowered and upgraded each week. So do the math through the 39 turbines divided by 3 or 4 a week. That's how the work will shake out in a 2 to 3 month time frame is what's expected for these. The replacement of the components, and I have a detailed slide just a little bit later of the extra components, but we'll walk through those. But all the work expected to be completed in Q3 of 2025, we'll see on the map on the next stage, the north side of Ashtabula 3. That work will be done first, and then we have Ashtabula 1, which is the other case that's today, that's in the middle. And then the south side of Ashtabula 3 will be the last part that's done. So those will starting, the end of June, and then working through September is when that work will all be completed.
Is that all in 2025?
Yes, that'll all be in 2025.
And why not sooner?
The process through all the permitting, and then we are going to do our Langdon facility in 2024, and that'll be our first take at. We've got 4 facilities that we're repowering, so that'll be the first one that we can do. And we didn't think that we could get them both, or more than one, in 2024.
Okay.
So start with that one, and then move into the other 3 for 2025.
And is Langdon the largest? I remind me of that.
Yeah, Langdon has 27 turbines, and that one is separate from the Laverne, Ashtabula 1, and Ashtabula 3 are all sorted together, just like the Valley City there. And Langdon's a couple-hour drive northeast.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
The other part that I want to mention as we get into the picture here is so the tower and the foundations remain the same. The nacelle also remains the same. And so what's changing out is the hub and the blades, and then as well as some of the components on the inside to support the increased blade length. For Ashtabula 3, it's currently an 82.5-meter rotor diameter, and it'll increase to a 91-meter rotor diameter. This facility right now is just shy of a 40% net capacity factor for energy production, and we expect it'll be at about 50% once the repower work is done. And that'll be consistent with there's other turbines in the area that NextEra has repowered in the past, and that's the capacity factors that they're getting with similar technology and the same blade lengths. So that's the increase in energy output annually that we expect.
Did you say 40% currently?
Yeah.
So it's gone up by 10%?
Correct.
Or
yes.
Not
it's
10%,
just it's but. Just shy of 40% on a 3-year average.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
From the component replacement illustration, you've seen this presentation a couple times. Last time I wrote them so small I couldn't read the components that were being replaced, and I thought I had to get my readers, but I brought bigger words this time for myself. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah. So on the hub, just showing from left to right here, the hub and the nose cone spinner and then the pitch drives that are all part of that, those will be replaced. There's a rotor shaft and bearings that get replaced as part of this upgrade. And then the generator's refurbished. And these are all the components replaced to accommodate the larger blades. Questions within that illustration? Then into the next, this is on slide 6 then. And here you can see, I tried to push this this figure 2 all the way into the slide deck here, but you can see a little better than half of the turbines are on the north side, and then if Ashtabula 1 were included, that'd be in the center of the gap between the two, and then there's a southern section of the Ashtabula 3 facility.
Can you give a short explanation of how that came to be? I assume Ashtabula 1 was there, and they wanted to add on, and the best spots were mostly to the north, but there was a few good spots to the south, and that became Ashtabula 3. Is that sort of how it happened?
We'll give Mr. Sinsler.
Yes.
Okay. That was short. You really take those requests literally, don't you?
Aims to please.
So if you'll recall, Ashtabula 3 was actually developed by an Xterra subsidiary, and Otter Tail had a power purchase agreement. Since that facility was constructed, we had a power purchase agreement for the output of the facility. And at the same time, we had an option agreement to purchase the facility after a certain amount of time had passed. We did exercise that in the summer of 2022, and then we closed and took ownership of the facility on January 3rd of 2023. So we can't get credit for how it was designed or constructed necessarily. Mm-hmm. But Randy, our Randy, has been around long enough that he knows the history of the facility.
What year did you buy it?
We closed on January of this year.
That's what I thought.
With this facility, then, the turbines are currently 1.6 megawatt turbines. With the upgrade, they'll still be 1.6 megawatt turbines, and the 62.4 megawatt interconnected will remain the same. There'll be no change to the generator interconnect or not to the collection lines, and no changes to the substation with this upgrade work. The contracts are in place with General Electric, with criteria to be met moving forward, and today's your approval of this filing is an important part of us moving forward with the project. We expect that the blades will be manufactured in North Dakota and then delivered to the sites, and the increased energy output is part of a property tax calculation, so the increased tax revenue through the increased energy production. Another thing that we're happy about with these upgrades is we'll ensure a 20-year life post-repower, and so maximizing the life of the wind facilities, ensuring that they continue on into the future.
Do you operate these separately, or are they all kind of operated together?
They're operated separately.
So this one with the Ashtabula 2 in the middle of it and 3 going on both sides, that you've got like connections through that middle between the two systems?
So what happens, if you can go back to that map real quick. So
we have a pointer there.
So what we have here is you got several strings of turbines, and mm-hmm. they feed into a substation, and I don't recall exact location of the substation, but essentially the strings of turbines will feed into the Ashtabula 3 substation, and some come from the north and come some from the west, and so that's how that all feeds in.
And Ashtabula 2 feeds into that substation also?
No, Ashtabula 2...
It's not in the gap there. I assumed it was in the gap.
Ashtabula 1 is here.
Oh, 1. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So...
And so our Laverne, which is next door to NextEra's Ashtabula 2, that's further north.
Okay. But 1 has this one... 3 surrounding it on the top and
correct.
The bottom.
Yeah, and the order of development there, you know, when NextEra developed them, Ashtabula 1 was first, then Ashtabula 2, and then Ashtabula 3 basically fit in into the rest of the footprint in 2010. The rest were developed in 8 and 9.
Okay. All right.
I just want to interrupt. I forgot to say something at the beginning that should be on the recording. This being an informal hearing, it involves only undisputed facts. And so if there are any disputed facts that develop, we'll have to wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. You know that, but it should be on the recording. Thanks. Oh, and then I had a question, too. When you say sourcing blades from North Dakota, how many places are making blades nowadays?
Yeah, General Electric will source the blades, and so it'd be Grand Forks would be
the... Is that the only one?
Yep, Grand Forks, yep. But then they also, they're global sourcing, so potentially, if something were to happen that facility weren't there, it potentially could come from a different location globally.
Sure.
So on the next slide, we run through the requirements that need to be met. So the certification complies with North Dakota Century Code Section 49-22-033A. So this is wholly within the project site that was designated by the commission in the Certificate of Site Compatibility. It improves the existing energy generation technology. It complies with the Commission's current exclusion area and avoidance area requirements, including turbine setbacks. So we do have a couple of variance requests within that. There are 3 property line setback variances requested impacting 4 turbines. And we say 3 because there's 3 separate landowners, but 4 turbines are within the setback. And we are seeking waivers from the landowners for those. And the county road setback, there are 3 turbines that are within the county road setback. And we're also going to Barnes County next week to talk to them about this project. They have a greater setback than the commission does, so we're also asking for a variance from their setback requirement. They have granted that previously to NextEra for their repower of their project in this area, so we don't anticipate an issue there, and so we're asking for approval of those variances conditioned upon obtaining the waivers from the landowners for the non-participating setback waivers, and then from Barnes County for the road setbacks.
When you filed, Molly, you had received, it seems like you had received one of the waivers. Is there any status report?
We do. There's still 2 outstanding setback waivers. They both have been agreed to verbally. One is partially executed. Needs 2 signatures for one of those setback waivers, so it's partially executed. The other one should be any day, and then the same with the other one. It's agreed to verbally but hasn't been executed yet, so we would expect to have those in hand very, very soon.
What about the county ones?
The county, we will be in front of them, the Planning and Zoning Committee, on September 12th to do the height and setback variance. That's a public meeting in Valley City, so we'll be there for that. And when that goes well for us, then it'd be September 19th that those would be approved, as well as the building permit then would be approved as part of that as well.
And the variance that's included was a variance that was originally obtained when NextEra had the project, and then that was transferred to Otter Tail as part of the documentation that was transferred. So that one is included. And the project also complies with the current sound requirement. There were certain receptors that were above 45, but using NRO noise reduction technology,
low noise trailing edges.
Low noise trailing edges. Between those 2 types of technology, we've run and confirmed that the project will meet the 45 dBA within 100 feet of all of the receptors. Cultural and wetlands.
Did you say the 45 dBA?
Yeah, 45 dBA within 100 feet, the current requirement.
That was 30.
That's 30 hours.
30 hours for shadow flipping.
Okay, yep.
Sorry. And speaking of shadow flicker, you must have read my mind, because there is one receptor that was modeled at being over 30 hours a year, but there will be technology used to mitigate that and ensure that it stays at 30 hours per year. It does not exceed that limit. And
can we
sure
go on to that one a little bit? So yeah. I was just looking at the detail of that one, and I'm a little confused. So this is, I'm on page 50 of Appendix B of the shadow flicker. So this is kind of the detailed breakdown of, so if you're on page 50, if you kind of start on January as an example. On January 1st, it looks like it starts at 8:55 a.m. goes to 9:27 a.m. 32 minutes of worst-case shadow. Those all make sense throughout the month of January. When you go to February, it looks like it starts at 8:57 a.m. and goes until 5 p.m., and it's only 56 minutes. But I just, as I was kind of looking at it, I noticed there's different turbine numbers referenced that are causing it. So the 8:57 is turbine 87, and then the 1705 is turbine 82. So maybe there's... I guess looks like there's maybe some detail missing to explain that.
So you're saying that you think that there's not all of the detail within...
So I'm not saying the report is inaccurate. All I'm saying is, so it looks like there's probably a start and end time for turbine 87 for that receptor. On February 1st, it looks like there should be a start and end time for turbine 87 and a start and end time for turbine 82. And they likely both total up to 56 minutes for that day. But we're missing some of the data. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a start time for turbine 87, but there's no end time for turbine 87. And there's what appears to be an end time for turbine 82, but there's no start time for turbine 82.
I see what you're saying, because it does go, it continues down... For the most part, that same way with either being 87, 82, or 94.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we can ask about that. I see what you're saying about it not having an end, because it looks like it's only... No, it continues to do that. We'll have to ask. I'm not sure. And just to be clear, this is the detailed worst case type, right?
Right, yeah. Yes. So yeah. I understood those minutes are the worst case scenario.
Or unrealistic case scenario kind of.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we could clarify those details and just file whatever that is out, unless there's some discrepancy in what you find.
Yeah, and did you see it anywhere else, or did you just happen to notice
I
it
just happened
one?
To look at this one. I noticed it was significantly higher on the worst case at 120 hours, so I was just kind of looking through the detail of that, and I noticed everything was making sense, and I got into the February. Doesn't make logical sense, but I don't know who receptor A269 is, but they're in a bad spot for wind farms, or for towers, I should say.
Yep. So receptor 269, the biggest impactor of that is turbine 259, and that's the one that we'll be adding that technology, that reducing technology on. So we can we'll definitely follow on the question to clarify the details on this page 50 and provide.
So is the technology that you just turn that turbine off during those hours?
Yeah, so we received the technical specifications. It's an $8,000 software package that goes on to monitor that we don't exceed that 30-hour threshold.
Okay.
And the technology is proven in other turbine and wind farm locations, so we know that it works,
sure.
And GE has assured us that it works to make sure that we don't make that 30 or go over that 30-hour threshold.
Okay.
I don't have, exactly how it turns on and shuts off, but I know that it will cap it at that 30 hours.
Oh, that's interesting. I was aware of other companies utilizing some sort of technology to turn off the turbines when the offending hours are happening. I just didn't know exactly how it worked, so just because you asked me.
Sure, yeah, and I'll be happy to look into and also to clarify it, certainly on the page 50, and make sure that we're...
Okay.
We can dig into that and have some fun with that a little bit more.
Okay, thank
you. Yep, thanks.
Please don't feel obligated to invite me to that fun party. riveting as those tables
fun.
Are.
So, overall, the project, through the information that's been filed, demonstrates that it complies with the siting requirements for the certification as well as the commission's prior orders.
So, when I think it must have been on Langdon, if I'm recalling right, there were one or more waivers that were never achieved, and so those just aren't getting redone.
So,
or
what
was
we
that just a possibility that was thrown out there?
Correct.
And so I'm wondering, since these aren't all fully executed, I mean, you sound pretty confident that it will go, but is that the plan here? If for some reason they're not executed, that the turbines that are too close or causing too much flicker or noise or something will not get refurbished, is that the plan?
That is correct. And the way we've drafted the proposed orders is similar to the way in the past where we've said the variance is granted conditioned upon obtaining the necessary waivers or approvals. And so we'd plan to continue to do that. So if they were not obtained, then the commitment is in the order that they will not be repowered.
Okay.
If they are obtained, they'll be filed prior to construction.
That's the end of your slides, is that correct? On this one? Or is there one more?
Just the summary of the request that
correct.
Approved the certification for the Ashtabula 3.
Okay.
Filing. Yes.
What's the status of the architectural survey?
Yes. We have contracted for the survey work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, SHPO did file a letter in the current proceeding identifying that 1 to 2 mile range with architectural, and we have contracted for that work to be done at the Ashtabula 3 facility as well as at the other three repowers that we're doing. It's expected that work will be done yet this fall, and the survey and report be completed by the end of the year.
Okay, good. And the SHPO did file that same letter with this case, too?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any more questions. Do you guys? Or staff?
I do not. Sure.
No, I just, any comments?
Thank you. Also, the North Dakota Environmental Quality submitted a letter to. Nothing there you want to, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but.
Yeah, it was their typical recommendations,
yep.
Ensuring that you follow all applicable requirements, get any permits that may be needed for the work.
Yep.
So, yes.
Anything else? Staff?
How long do you think it'll take to get the updated shadow flicker?
That shadow flicker information is actually not the data that shows the expected amount. It's just extra data that we've provided for Victor's request in the past. I don't know whether there's an issue with the data until maybe we are just not able to read it the way that it's intended. So until I know what it is, I'm not sure, but we would ask and try to get that as soon as possible.
Okay.
Adam, Chris, anything else in the company? Okay. Are there any evidence, are the objections to the evidence produced? And I'm talking about the recording, the slides from today, the application, everything that was filed in advance becoming part of the official record?
No objection.
Okay. So that all the evidence will become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Seeing and hearing none, this informal hearing is closed.